This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast is brought to you by our good friends at Bet Online, your number one source for all the summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, to the NHL playoffs. Get all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow all of your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport there is. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Check out BetOnline, not only where the game starts, but a proud sponsor of the Cannon Fire Podcast.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pop, ball to the five, touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal. That's picked off. That's picked off. And who else? Rondé Barber. Tampa Bay Buccaneers may ride to the Super Bowl with that one.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Throws up to the
head. Derek Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 29. Derek Brooks all the way. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
And there the cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Hello and welcome, Bucks fans, back to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast, live on YouTube today. And we are not alone. Joined along for the ride. Sorry, it took me a second. A lot to think about here on the intro today. Joining us for today's show, as we take a look at the 2024 Tampa Bay Buccaneers schedule, our good buddy from Mr. Bucks Nation here on YouTube, James Hill. James, how you doing, my friend?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. It's been a while. When's the last time I was on? I don't remember.
It's been a couple weeks. I think it's been like a month, a little over a month. I don't think it's been more than 2 months.
All right, man. That works for me. Yeah, no, excited to talk about the schedule today, man. A lot of fun stuff to dive into.
Absolutely. For anyone not up to speed, I am your host, as always, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, as always, my good buddy and co-host, Evan Wanish from BucksNation.com. Normally, I'm a little bit more slick with the intros. I don't know what's going on today, but we're doing it live, and we are happy to be here. But yes, you heard it. We've already said it a couple of times today. We're taking a look at the NFL schedule for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that was released last night, Wednesday night, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I can tell you this, before we even dive into what this schedule looks like, when you look at the home games for Tampa Bay, a lot of 1 o'clock kickoffs this year. I mean, a lot of 1 o'clock kickoffs last year, but just as many this season. So if you're looking to go to any Bucks home games, fellas, down here in the Tampa Bay area, it's going to be hot.
Well, the weird thing to me is, yeah, you have a lot of 1 o'clock kickoffs. You have two games against West Coast teams that are at 1 o'clock in Tampa. You have the San Francisco 49ers week 10. And the Las Vegas Raiders, I believe, week 13 or week 14, one of those two. That's unusual. Like a lot of times, they're not going to force a West Coast team to play a 1 o'clock game on the East Coast. So that was interesting to me. I figured the Bucks would be actually playing a bit more on the 4:25, 4:05 schedule, or rather than the Denver Broncos game. I believe the Broncos game is isn't that that's at 4 or something, right? So that's a West Coast team. I was surprised that they had both the 49ers and the Raiders playing 1 o'clock games in Tampa. Because not only is it going to be hot, but I don't know if those teams are already going to be on the East Coast, but that may be a slight advantage that the Buccaneers have, maybe, because it's different. It's just different time zones.
Well, especially that San Francisco game, because it sticks out to me in particular. Pro Football Talk released an article talking about Tom Brady's upcoming broadcast season, and I think he's slated to be calling that game. So if anything, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but if there's any games that I would expect to be flexed this year, the one that seems like it would make the most sense is that 1 o'clock San Francisco into a 4 o'clock game. Because again, just like you said, very odd for the Bucks to face off against some of these West Coast teams at 1 o'clock, but it is what it is. Let's go ahead and get into it. Week one, September 8th, the Buccaneers open things up at home with a 4:25 p.m. kickoff on Fox, taking on rookie QB Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. Looking at the early stretch here as well, over the first four games, the Bucks have pretty decent crop of quarterbacks. You got a couple of rookie QBs, and then you got a couple of the higher paid quarterbacks in the game right now. We'll talk about those later. But fellas, your thoughts on this week one opener for Tampa Bay? They kick things off at home.
Yeah, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on the Commanders at this point? Because I'm a little like back and forth with it. Because on one hand, like I think Jaden Daniels is going to be pretty darn good, right? But then I don't necessarily fully know what they've done this offseason, but I do know they lost Chase Young. I do know they lost Montez Sweat. I almost said Montez Ford. And I think that I don't know. Like, do they still feel like a team that's like a smidge into a rebuild still at this point? Or do you guys feel like they're a team that's like still trying to win now?
I feel like they had a free agency that was overhyped. The signing of Austin Eckler was a really big deal. I think people are excited about what he can bring to the offense. Still, if I'm not mistaken, have Terry McLaurin under contract. Scary Terry, another underrated piece. I think an underrated wide receiver in the NFL for far too long. But other than that, Evan, when you look at Washington and the state that they're in, do you think people just kind of overhype that free agency? Are they out of the rebuild phase? Where do they end up now with, a rookie quarterback?
Well, they're definitely not, I don't think, out of the rebuild phase. I still don't think this is a very good football team. I just don't. I mean, obviously they got Dan Quinn now, so a new head coach, but a not a brand new head coach, right? Somebody who's obviously done it before, and is a guy who a lot of players like. I just think it's gonna take a little bit more time. They also added guys like Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, also Dante Fowler Jr., Frankie Louvu. So they did add a few other guys, but to me, you look at drafting Jaden Daniels, and this is year one, basically, to me. Brand new head coach, brand new, honestly, everything, right? Brand new owner. Josh Harris came in, who unfortunately he also owns the Sixers. He's not a good owner, I can tell you that. Sorry, Washington fans, but in my opinion. So I think this is a team that isn't gonna be very good in 2024. That being said, week one, there's a lot of unknowns, right? And especially when you're going to be playing, and we're not, this isn't going to be a Washington Commanders preview pod. We're going to have plenty of time between now and the start of the season to talk about that. But when you're playing a rookie quarterback, it is the unknown, right? You don't have much tape on him in the NFL. And the good news, though, on the other side, he doesn't have a ton of tape on your defense either. He's going to be seeing this all for the first time. So there are pros and cons to it. But again, this is somewhere, at home, you're open up at home for the first time in 2 years since 2021, actually, and technically 3 years since 2021 when they opened up against the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, you're open up at home, and hopefully, you're able to get off to a fast start, because you look at the, and obviously, we're going to break down the whole schedule here, but you look at the first half of the schedule. If you just break it down, let's say the bye week is your divider. Before the bye week is pretty brutal. Like, I mean, you go through a gauntlet. So games like this early in the year are sort of ones you have to have. Again, I don't think Washington is, they added some talent, but again, they're probably a team that's going to be picking in the top 5 again this coming April.
Yeah, a very young football team, and I think obviously for the Bucs, trying to build off of what they did in the 2023 season, it's going to be a new offense somewhat.
Yes.
You know, I don't think Washington is coming into this expecting a Dave Canales offense with new OC Liam Cohen. It's going to be interesting to see not only how he uses the offense, the quarterback Baker Mayfield, the running back Rashad White, new running back Bucky Irving going to be on the depth chart. Curious to see how he fits in, but it's going to be an interesting litmus test to see just how far ahead of this Washington team the Bucs are. Because, again, don't want to put all my eggs in one basket, but I want to believe that if the Bucs are where they should be, they should be better than this Washington football team. Yes. But let's go ahead and move on to week 2. The Buccaneers on the road for the first time, and it's a good one to get out of the way early, taking on the Detroit Lions in a divisional round playoff matchup from last season. Bucs going to be on the road as they face Jared Goff, MCDC, Dan Campbell at head coach. I just got a nice extension, I believe, over the offseason up there in Detroit. They're very happy to have him.
Jared Goff just got a brand new deal. So.
Jared Goff, 50, one of the highest paid 50. Quarterbacks in the game now, I think making what, north of $50 million a year, 52, 53?
Something like that.
53. He is the second highest paid quarterback average, I think, besides Joe Burrow.
They will also see Carlton Davis early in the season, who they traded away for a third round pick to the Detroit Lions. We know where both of these teams are. We just talked about how the Bucs should be a little bit better than Washington, but you want to talk about a litmus test in showcasing just how prepared the Bucs are in the early part of the season. I think this is going to be an entertaining game, but this is, you know, the first game on the schedule that you look at and you're like, oh hell, because Detroit very well could be one of the top NFC teams once again in 2024.
Not just NFC, you know, the entire NFL. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough challenge. It's not an easy first road game either. So
what's fun about it is the storylines, right? Like, oh, playoff rematch, right? Can the Bucs win the rematch or will the Lions win again? Carlton Davis revenge game, which is kind of, you know, just a fun little wrinkle to throw in there as well. I mean, you know, it's revenge against the Bucs, so you hope it doesn't go that way. But, you know, there is a couple of storylines there, so it should be fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, Detroit has become a tough place to play. Last year, they were really selling it, really putting it over, talking about how tough of a place it has been to play, which is not correct because the Lions sucked ass for so long. Nobody was going to those games, but they have a team. And with that being said, if you play and you win, they will come. The fans have come out for the Detroit Lions, and it's going to be an interesting road game to start the season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's move on to week 3. Another rookie quarterback on the slate. I'm assuming Bo Nix is going to be your starter for the Denver Broncos here in week 3. But the Buccaneers back at home. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Fox. Bucks and Broncos.
Is this another 1 o'clock kickoff?
It is a 1 o'clock. This is what I've got.
They're forcing all the West Coast teams to play a 1.
Yeah. So they've got Bucks Broncos 1 o'clock. Sorry. Go ahead, James.
Evan's reactions. 1 o'clock.
I feel the same way. I feel the same way. If I had any hopes of going to this game, they are dashed completely by a 1 o'clock game in September. Also, the first time the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have seen head coach Sean Payton in quite some time. I do not think they have seen him since he is departed the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, they did not. They did not play the Denver Broncos last year. So yeah, it's been a little bit. So, I would imagine considering the other two quarterbacks on the Broncos depth chart are Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson, I would imagine you're going to see Bo Nix. So yes, two of the first three Buccaneers opponents could very well be rookie quarterbacks. Again, there is pros and there is cons to that, right? This is another team, though, that's not a very good football team. They do have some talent. I think they have more talent than Washington. But again, something to where you're hoping to get out of the gates a little bit quicker here. And you're hoping to, you know, again, this isn't a season prediction show. That comes later in August. But you're hoping that the Buccaneers probably, you know, can take care of business here again at home, you know, with a rookie quarterback before the schedule gets pretty tougher after this game.
Important to note, too. Like, I know a lot of people may say, like, oh, Sean Payton's beaten the crap out of the Bucs in the past. One of the biggest reasons for that was because Dennis Allen's defenses just completely stonewalled everything the Bucs did. Dennis Allen's not with Sean Payton anymore. So that is a really big factor, in my opinion, that I think does take away from that stigma a lot. So I agree with Evan, you know, rookie quarterback, Broncos aren't really that good right now, especially like, dude, they talk about salary cap hell. I mean, they are there. Like, they are deep. They're in like the ninth level at this point. So yeah, should be another good game. Hopefully it's like a tune-up game before, you know, that stretch of death. So should be interesting.
Yeah, we are leading up to a pretty tough stretch on the season. But talking about Dennis Allen in particular, any Saints fan will tell you that he's probably not going to be the answer for them long-term at head coach. But even when they still play Tampa Bay, you see the effects of his defense on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They still find a way to get you. And it happened last year on New Year's Eve, late in the season. So curious to see how some of these division games end up shaking out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll break those down here shortly. Let's get into week four of the NFL season. Sunday, September 29th, 1 o'clock kickoff. The Buccaneers are at home again. It is another NFL 2023 playoffs rematch, this time taking on Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the last time these two teams played was the wild card round of the 23 playoffs. And, you know, Evan, you know as much as anyone, this Eagles team was a shell of itself. I think last year, by the time the Bucs ran into them in the postseason, the Bucs were just doing them a favor. You know, they needed to be put down. They were like a wounded dog. And the Bucs were, you know, right place, right time to do just that and move on to the next round. But this is going to be a fresh Philadelphia team. This is going to be an Eagles team that a lot of people would argue got better than where they were last year. And, you know, they were not in the best condition last year. But if the Bucs would have played them this early in the season, which they did, they got ran over. So what are your thoughts on the Eagles headed into this matchup and ultimately how they stack up? And how do you think this playoff rematch is going to go for Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about what the Eagles were last year, the 10-1 start, and then it just kind of all crumbles down. And you're right. I think you had a pretty good analogy. By that point, I think the Eagles are just ready to go home, right? The Eagles are just ready to they were done, right? That team was cooked. And, you know, but they brought back the same coaching staff, right? And they brought back a lot of the same core players, but they added a lot of talent. Obviously, Saquon Barkley is there. You know, they got rid of a few guys, but Fletcher Cox obviously retired. Jason Kelce retired. Two very big ones there. But, you know, signing Saquon Barkley, signing Bryce Huff really should make a difference there. They trade Hassan Reddick, but and then in the draft, you know, you get Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. So they had a pretty good draft as well. Philly's improved. And I think early in the season, they're going to be one of, you know, feeling good about themselves, right? Really get that taste out of their mouths from last season. So, and I think, you know, yeah, just you talk about rematches, right? The Bucs are playing their exact two rematches in the playoffs. They're playing at Detroit and they're playing Philly in Tampa. So another 1 o'clock start in September will be a hot one, but, we'll wait and see. And, you know, I do think, though, because you remember in a regular season last year, Bucs played the Eagles early, and the Eagles handed the Bucs their first loss of the season on Monday Night Football. So I think, you know, the Bucs definitely had to play better than they did there. And I think it would be a mistake for the Bucs to assume that, you know, this is going to be the same Eagles team walking into week four that was walking in that playoff game, because it's going to be a lot different.
This might be one of the spiciest games of the year. You know why? Because well, yes, it's going to be some spicy air out there. But the Eagles added two players this offseason. One is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Right. The other is Devin White.
White, I forgot about that.
Devin White makes his return to Tampa Bay.
How did I forget about that?
That is going to be wild. Should be fun. Should be fun. Those two players alone.
If he doesn't request a trade by then, he'll be out there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Liam Cohen and obviously the rest of this Buccaneers offense attack the linebacker position in particular. If Devin White is getting
Adam,
if he's getting a healthy amount of reps by the time the Bucs play Philadelphia,
early in the season, he probably will be.
I gotta think they're just going to throw the ball right at him. You know, like everybody in Tampa has seen this guy on game film week in and week out for 4 years. And they know what he's capable of. They know what he's bad at. So I'm curious to see that matchup as well. But when you look at these 2 weeks on the schedule here, September 22nd through the 29th, the Bucs play back-to-back 1 o'clock games at home. I know people are maybe going to discount this stretch of the schedule because of Denver being expected to be as bad as they will be. But between Detroit, I know it's a 1 o'clock game in Detroit, but back-to-back games in September, Denver and Philadelphia at 1 o'clock, this is also going to be a battle of attrition. Like, you're going to have to be conditioned. And the Bucks rookies who are going to be getting some valuable reps here early in the season, this is going to be a big-time tell for them to see just how conditioned they are. But, you know, I do think that both Denver and Philadelphia are teams that you look at a 1 o'clock start in Tampa Bay, the Bucks are not home again until October 21st. So it's going to be a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
Not by much, but I do think that is definitely going to be a factor.
Well, the October 21st game is a primetime game too, so that helps. But yeah, three of the Bucks' first four games are at home, you know, in Tampa in September. I know the Commanders game is at four, but look, I mean, that's early September. That's still going to be hot, you know? Now though, they have two straight division opponents on the road though.
Yes, they do. And this is where it gets really spicy, because not only are you coming off of the Philadelphia Eagles on a short week here, Thursday Night Football, October 3rd, you are on the road against the Atlanta Falcons, 8:15 p.m. That game will be on Prime Video.
You like that?
Does Kirk like that? It's pretty funny, because after the fallout of the NFL draft, we come to find out Kirk Cousins said something along the lines.
He does not like that.
Yeah, he does not like that. He's curious about where he would have ended up, because I don't think he would have been at Atlanta Falcon if he knew the entire time that they had planned to draft Michael Penix with the number 8 overall pick in the draft. But we talked a lot about this Falcons team last week with Trevor. We'll keep it short and sweet. Evan, what do you think of this matchup? It's going to be tough for Tampa Bay, I think, just because of the short week here and back-to-back division opponents.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about on a short week, but also just like you talked about the conditioning, right? I mean, they're going to play two straight games at 1 o'clock in the Tampa Heat, and they got to go on the road and you know, on a short week to play a division opponent who look like is probably going to be improved just because, you know, Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Desmond Ridder. Like, the Falcons didn't really change much. They didn't have to. And yes, they fumbled the draft, but they got an upgrade at quarterback. So, like, it's not going to be, you know, and look, and this Falcons team still split with the Buccaneers last year. So it wasn't like the Bucs, you know, swept them and rolled over. You know, and the Bucs also barely beat the Falcons the last time in Atlanta last year. So it was two pretty tough games. So I don't expect anything to change here. I think it is going to be a tough one. But you know, this is the type of game where when you're looking back on it, you know, week 17, week 18 comes around, these could decide a division. You know, these early games here could really decide a division. Like you said, we're not really going to go too much into the Falcons. But yeah, I mean, it's, these games are important. They're critical games, especially when you have right after that, you have another one. You know, you do get a mini bye week, right? Being on Thursday Night Football, you get that 10 days off after that. But, you know, and then coming, you know, into New Orleans, then it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, it's really not. James, I wanted to get your thoughts on this next division matchup here. Bucks going to be on the road once again the following week. A mini bye week, but week 6, October 13th at 1 o'clock, they will be playing in the Superdome on Fox against the New Orleans Saints. This is a Saints team that, again, when you forecast the NFC South and you look at what teams got better, what teams didn't, felt like the Saints just kind of stayed complacent. You know, a lot of people would argue that they had a decent draft, came away with Kool-Aid McKinstry at the corner spot, but, like, Dennis Allen isn't the answer. We found out Dennis Allen wasn't the answer in that game against Atlanta last season when Jameis Winston basically told the team, hey, let's not listen to this guy. Let's go score this touchdown for our boy. You know, he's been done since that, but they gave him another shot. James, what do you think about the Saints this season and ultimately in this matchup here with Tampa?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that they definitely kind of kept the course in terms of like offseason additions and whatnot. Like, yeah, they did add Chase Young. They did add Willie Gay Jr. But like, that's pretty much it. Like, they lost Michael Thomas.
Yep.
They didn't really have like a solid replacement for him. And I know like he's been hurt a lot this past year, but like, it'll be interesting. I still feel like right now the number one team to be competing with the Bucks for the NFC South, you know, is going to be the Falcons. But the Saints have played the Bucks tough in the past, and like Evan was saying, like regardless of what you think of the Falcons or the Saints, if the Bucks can or cannot win, like these are two very important games. And I do think it adds to the toughness of the stretch, right? Because playing, you know, your two toughest competitors in division away back to back is not easy.
Yeah, and when you don't play any division opponents until week 5 or 6, if the Bucks lose these games, they don't see another division opponent until week 8 when Atlanta goes to Tampa. So if you're 0-2 in the division or you're 0-1 in the division, you're going to have a lot of ground to make up. And I think that really just drives home the point of how important these division games are when they're kind of all backloaded at the end of the regular season for you anyway. So it could be another season potentially where it comes down to the nitty-gritty if the Buccaneers do not win these first two division games.
Yeah, and look, they have two stretches, right? They have two stretches with two straight divisional games, right? This stretch and then two to end the year. So it'll be critical.
All right, another primetime game for Tampa Bay, which means an extra day off. They get 8 days of rest, or I'm sorry, an extra day of rest, excuse me. 8 days between the Week 6 game in New Orleans and then the Week 7 game in Tampa, taking on Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. That game going to be Monday Night Football, 8:15, kickoff on ESPN. Another tough matchup. You know, this is a team that was in the AFC Championship game a year ago. Their quarterback just won MVP. What more can you say? You know, it's another team on this schedule where you look at the crop of opponents the Bucs had. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And it's going to take a lot for the Buccaneers to not only win the division, but prove that they can be a playoff team once again. You have a first place schedule because you took first place in the NFC South last season. So it's just another one of several very tough opponents for the Bucs this year, but it'll be on primetime. And it seems like Bucs-Ravens, last few times they've played, it has been on primetime. I think the last game was, what, Thursday night football?
Thursday night.
Also in Tampa. High-scoring game, too. I remember it was like 10-0 in the first 30 seconds because of the kickoff. Who was it? Was it Jalen Darden or was it somebody else?
That was the Chiefs game.
Okay.
It was Rashad. He ended up fumbling it. What were you gonna say, James?
Oh, I was gonna say, Rhett said, "What more can you say?" They added Derrick Henry.
That's true.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, we really haven't even talked about the personnel on some of these teams, the changes that have been made. You know, this run defense has been a topic of discussion these last couple of weeks, especially when you draft some more rookies in the trenches. But there's a lot of tough running backs. And I will say the Bucs have a history of handling Derrick Henry fairly well.
Look, Baltimore's just a different animal, right? Because they can hurt you in so many, with Lamar's running ability, they can just hurt you in so many different ways. So this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah. And this is an offense that has hurt the Bucs in previous seasons. We've seen it even with Lamar Jackson. The speed of that Baltimore offense is going to be something to behold. So depending on how featured Derrick Henry is, it could be a long day, but obviously we'll worry about that when the time comes. Moving on to the following week, another division opponent, the Buccaneers stay at home. Sunday, October 27th, they will take on the Atlanta Falcons.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The second time they have seen the Falcons in 4 weeks, a 1 o'clock kickoff on Fox. But
Again, though, I mean, obviously, we're not going to, we just went over a lot of things with the Falcons or whatever. We're not going to go, or I'm not going to repeat myself. But if you lose that game in Atlanta, that makes this one 10 times more important. Like, that you have to, if you lose that game in Atlanta, you have to win this game here. Like, you just do. If you win the game in Atlanta, man, it'd be really nice if you were able to sweep them, right? But if you lose the game in Atlanta, that just puts so much more emphasis and importance on this game here. So, and unfortunately, you're going to be on a short week because you played Monday night. So, not two, both times you're playing Atlanta, it's going to be on a short week. Not great.
Yeah, I do not think the Bucs are in a position this season to allow any of these NFC South teams to sweep them. Like, you're going to have a time winning the division for a fourth year in a row if you get swept by either Atlanta or Carolina. New Orleans is one thing in itself, but any one of those teams, it doesn't matter. It's going to be very tough with the crop of opponents that you have outside of the NFC South. James, before we move on to these last couple of games before the bye week, your thoughts on just the importance of this division game?
Yeah, I think that, like, for example, if the Bucs swept the Falcons, Falcons have no shot of winning the division. Whereas if the reverse happens as well, no shot the Bucs win the division at that point. Like, that's just the way I see it. So, yeah, like, I would say, like, obviously that's like doomsday, like, forget about it type of scenario. Even if you split, that is not like, you know, it's okay, but it's not ideal. And Evan's point, yeah, it just adds so much pressure at home. Right. Hopefully you win early is what I'm saying.
Final two game stretch before the bye week. And
the two teams have played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. We have got ourselves a doozy here. You have got the AFC champion, NFL champion, Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. The Bucs will be on the road Monday Night Football. Another Monday night game. The Bucs play two Monday night games in 3 weeks, which is kind of crazy, all things considered. It'll be on the road against the Chiefs, 8:15 kickoff on ESPN. And then the last game before the bye week, after the Super Bowl champions, it's a short week, November 10th.
You get the runner-up.
6 days later, you are at home, 1 o'clock. So, I mean, it's a home game at 1 o'clock, but you're taking on the San Francisco 49ers, the defending NFC champions, and quarterback Brock Purdy, who has not been kind to the Buccaneers in seasons past. This is just a ridiculous stretch. I think this is the stretch of the schedule where you got to take a step back and basically just, I don't know, figure out a way that you're going to get through this in one piece.
Yeah, you got to try. You have to try and survive.
In 3 out of 4 weeks, you're facing conference champion teams. You've got the Baltimore Ravens, then you've got a division game against Atlanta, and then the Super Bowl champions and the NFC champions. So, yeah, it's going to be tough, but I mean, no better spot for a bye week, I suppose.
Look, if you can go 2-2 in this stretch, it's a huge success.
Yeah.
I mean, that stretch of four games, as long as one of those wins, I actually think it would be more important. Like, if you beat, let's say you beat Baltimore, then you beat Kansas City, but you lost to Atlanta, you lost to San Francisco, that actually doesn't do you as good. I think it would be more important if one of those wins comes against Atlanta, and then the other one comes against whoever. But if you can go 2-2 in that stretch, that is fantastic. You're right, though. It is a good time for a bye week. And I do like the later bye week. An earlier bye week doesn't really do much good, in my opinion. But I do like a later bye week. Anytime after like week 7, I would say, is a pretty good time for a bye week. So they hit week 11 this year.
I agree, especially considering the spot the Bucs were in last season, where it was just like game after game after game after game. You had to win if you wanted to make it to the postseason. And if you could have had the bye week a couple of weeks later, I would have possibly. But you do have to like the stretch of games here coming out of the bye week for Tampa Bay. So week 11, the Bucs are off. Week 12, they're back at it on the road here in New York. Well, Jersey, to take on the New York Giants, 1 o'clock on CBS. The Giants, I mean, I don't want to scoff at any team because this is the NFL, and obviously some of these games that we look at and we scoff at are going to be tough. The Giants are a team that have played the Bucs tough in the past. But when you open things up against the Giants, and then the following week you are on the road, another division game against Carolina. It's the first time you see them all season, but it's a Carolina team that is not expected to be very good yet again after being the worst team in the NFL last season. So I really don't think you could have asked for two better opponents coming out of the bye week, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, these are, I think, going to be two of the worst teams in the NFL. I think the Panthers will be slightly improved because they did add some talent. You know, you're banking Bryce Young a year or two, maybe you make some improvements there. But, like, they're not going to win. Slightly improved is fine, but, like, they were really bad last year. So, slightly improved is still pretty bad. And I think the Giants have the potential, even though I like Malik Nabers, I like some of the stuff they've done, I think they have the potential to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. I just, if things go awry with Daniel Jones. So, you're right. Coming out of the bye, after that tough stretch before the bye week, coming out of the bye week, you have two games where you basically, assuming that stretch before the bye week goes how we assume it's going to go, how I think most people assume it's going to go, you have to win these two games here. You have to. Against the Giants, against the Panthers, even though they're on the road, I know it's a divisional game on the road against Carolina. These are two games that you probably have to have.
Yeah, good point in the chat here by Jared Cox as well. Good time to try and get healthy. When you go into these, you know, they could be must wins depending on how the division race is going, depending on what your record is. But you could be in a position where maybe your depth is good enough to rest a Mike Evans or rest a Lavonte David or rest one of these guys who could be banged up by this point in the season. You got a lot of veterans on this team from top to bottom. So we just got to see what's up, James. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, with the Giants, former Buck Aaron Stinney is over there. Ooh, now.
Aaron Stinney revenge game. Yeah. Huh?
Game changer. Yeah.
Hey, but they did trade for Brian Burns as well from the Panthers. But he's like far and away the best player on their team. And then after that, like their offense is just, you lost Saquon Barkley, like you replaced him with Devin Singletary. Like, I don't know about that one, Chief. But, you know, I agree with Evan. Like, you should win these two games.
Yeah,
right?
You have to. It's not even a should. You have to win these two games. If you want to be serious, right, and win the NFC South for a fourth straight year, which would be, I believe, a franchise record, and make the playoffs again, you got to win these two games. You have to.
Yeah. And, you know, to Evan's point, like, I do think the Carolina Panthers will be a little bit improved. You know, like, they brought in Rashad Penny. They brought in Deontay Johnson. Paid a lot of money at guard for a couple of guys.
Yeah, Robert Hunt got paid.
Yeah, brought in Jadeveon Clowney. But, like, for me, the biggest thing is, like, how is Bryce Young going to do? And I just don't have a lot of faith in Bryce Young, so... it should be, yeah, they'll be a little bit better, but I do believe, to Evan's point, this should be a game that two games the Bucs should win.
First year head coach in Dave Canales as well for the Carolina Panthers, and this is the time of the season where you're gonna know how that's going. You're gonna know what the development of Bryce Young is looking like for at least year two. You're gonna know if the Panthers have him etched in for at least another trial run, or if they still think he's gonna be a long-term answer. You're gonna know if they like Dave Canales and what he's done. You're going to know. You play to win the game. And by this time of the season, we've already played, 12, 13 games? So
many games, yes.
For Tampa Bay here, it is the home stretch. Final five games. Bucks back at home on December 8th. Week 13.
14.
14, thank you. Yeah, needed to correct myself there. Week 14, back at home, taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Another 1 o'clock game on CBS. The Raiders are a team, I don't want to lump them into the same category as New York and Carolina, but I feel like you kind of have to.
They're slightly better, but not much better, in my opinion.
They're slightly better, and the reason they're not is because of the quarterback situation. I think the Raiders have a decent defense. I'm kind of excited for their head coach. At least I'm happy for their head coach, Damian Pierce. I'm happy that he got the job. I think that's the first time in a while.
Wow, hang on, time out. We just hear the Rhett heel turn on Gardner Minshew, I guess.
That's what I was going to say. Your guy is there. What do you mean?
Listen, I mean, we don't know who's going to be a starter by that point, but
you were pounding the table for Gardner Minshew.
I was banging the table for Gardner Minshew, and I did address this on an episode of the Cannon Fire podcast. So I know that we've maybe got a couple of people in chat between Chris Mayle, Christopher Cole, Willie Beam, and Jared Cox. A lot of these guys were hanging out with us during the regular season, and I know for a fact that I said on this show Gardner Minshew should not have been a Pro Bowler last season, even though he was. As much as I liked Gardner Minshew, and as much as I will admit I thought he was the answer, they gave him the reins up there in Indy after Anthony Richardson went down. That was a decent roster. I don't think it was as good of a roster as Tampa Bay has, but I think it was enough for him to show more than what he did. He lost them quite a few games, and I'm Team Baker after last season. You give me Baker Mayfield and Gardner Minshew after last year, I'm taking Baker Mayfield 8 days a week. So, yes, I did address that, but I do appreciate you holding my feet to the fire there and bringing that up.
But again, the biggest thing here is, and you know, I don't really want to spend too much time on the Raiders, but who's going to be the quarterback, right? Is it going to be Gardner Minshew? Is it going to be Aiden O'Connell? By that point, you know, especially later in the year now, we got the Raiders, you know, the Chargers, got the Panthers again. Are these teams going to be packing it in? Like, are these teams' seasons going to be over? Are they still going to have something to fight for? So the later you get in the year, the less the stakes are for some of these teams. So, again, another game where, though, the Bucs are probably going to be the more talented football team, and another game where they probably got to win it.
It is a West Coast game on the road for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here in Week 15, December 15th, taking on the L.A. Chargers. So, another team over there on the West Coast, but they will travel. That game will be on Fox. The Chargers in another situation with a new head coach in Harbaugh. You've got Justin Herbert and some other guys that they went out there and made some moves for. I don't hate the Chargers. And as far as competing within a stacked AFC West division, I don't hate the Chargers. For the last couple of years, I've been holding out hope that they would be the second place team, and they haven't been. They have been a sore disappointment, but what kind of shape do you think Harbaugh is going to have the Chargers in at this point of the season, Evan?
I mean, I think they could, if all goes well, they could maybe compete for a wild card spot. I don't think, obviously, they're not on Kansas City's level. You look at their receiver room, it's not good. They added Joe Alt, he'll help, but I think Harbaugh is a good head coach, so he'll help, but there's still a lot of pieces missing on this team. I ultimately don't have them making the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, but I look at them as more one of the middling teams, kind of that 6-7 win range. And this is a game where it is a tough West Coast game. Even though the Bucs are playing, you know, a lot of West Coast teams, a lot of those games are in Tampa. So this is the one really West Coast trip that they have. And it's going to be tough, I think, on the West Coast, obviously, but it is another game where the Bucs might be the better team by this point. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, good point as well. You brought up the travel schedule for the Bucs, and I know last year there were a couple of instances where they're going West Coast to East Coast, back to West Coast, back to East Coast, and they're traveling all these miles in a short amount of time. Doesn't seem like any brutal road trips on the schedule this year for Tampa Bay, so good looks. But James, real quick, your thoughts on this week?
Yeah, I mean, I expect them to run the football a whole heck of a lot. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, you brought in Greg Roman. Gus Edwards is like your number one running back now, so that's kind of weird. And they don't have any wide receivers because they got rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So, yeah, they're going to be running the football. That's for darn sure. I agree with Evan. Like, I do think the Bucs are the better team at this juncture, like on paper. But you can also never count out old Jimmy Harbaugh, so it'll be an interesting game.
Final three games of the season for the Bucs. This one, their final road game of the year. Sunday night football, December 22nd. They are headed to Jerry World in Dallas to take on the Cowboys. That game will be on NBC. It's hard to sit here and break down what we think of these games, considering we're talking about Week 16. You know, it's going to be night and day as far as expectations for all of these teams between then and now. So I don't think we're going to spend too much time on it, but have to imagine it's going to be another tough road test for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. even though Mike McCarthy is in a bit of a weird spot with the Cowboys, I think most people expect them to be a playoff team, expect them to be competing within that division. I know last year was disappointing for them, but you know the Eagles kind of fell off at the end of the year and Dallas became the team. So I would expect them to kind of pick up where they left off.
Yeah. I do think it's going to be a tough road game. The Cowboys, they didn't really do much in the offseason. They had an uneventful offseason. But
they brought back Zeke. That's all they had to do. They fixed the run game.
Forget it. The Bucs have no chance in this game. Sorry. This isn't the season prediction show, but that's an L. That's my prediction. I think Dallas still has a lot of talented players. Dak Prescott's still a good quarterback. I know there's a lot of discourse about him, but he's still a really good quarterback. And it's gonna be a road game, you know, after the West Coast. You know, you come back from the West Coast and then you're traveling out right away again. So that's not gonna be the easiest thing. And by this point in the season, though, these games could be a little bit critical for both teams. You know, because like you mentioned, I don't think Dallas is gonna compete for the NFC East title. I think Philly's is going to be slightly better. So I think Dallas is going to be competing with teams for that wild card. And who knows, with how close Atlanta and Tampa might be, it might be one of those teams gets the NFC South, the other team gets a wild card, which would make this game, Cowboys versus Bucs, massive, right? For wild card implications as well, if the Buccaneers weren't to win the division. So I do think this is a pretty big game, and we'll have to wait and see what happens.
All right, let's wrap it up with these final two games. James, I want to get your thoughts first. Two division games at home to round out the regular season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2024 season. The first of two will be against the Carolina Panthers, 1 o'clock on December 29th in Raymond James Stadium. That game on CBS the following week, January 4th or 5th, against the New Orleans Saints. That time yet to be determined, network yet to be determined. But two big-time games here to wrap up the regular season for Tampa Bay. I really like that they're at home. I don't love that they are against division opponents, because I do think that with the expectations I have for how many games I think the Bucs are going to win, I think these two games are going to determine the entire season for you. I think everything that you've done beforehand is going to be relevant to a degree, but these two games are going to decide what seed the Bucs make the postseason, and ultimately if they make the postseason at all, if they're still fighting for a wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, I do tend to agree with you. I think that, like, at this point, you probably need to win out, depending on how the rest of the season goes. I could see a very similar scenario to last year, where it's like, hey, maybe not to win the division, maybe to win the division, I don't know. But, like, these final two games are going to be very critical in terms of their divisional record, right? And still trying to compete for that division. You know, we don't know where the Falcons will be at that time, but it is nice that they are at home. It is nice that you know, they have that, you know, hopefully we'll have some momentum on their side, because they do have an easier second half of the season. So, yeah, I would say, like, winning out would be ideal.
Yeah, and you just said we don't know where the Falcons are going to be. We ultimately don't know where the rest of the NFC South is going to be. If things go the way that we are expecting, I don't think Carolina can, you know, really compete down to the nitty-gritty for the victory, but they can sure as hell play upset here for the Bucs if they are just one game behind New Orleans, or, you know, tied for that one game with New Orleans with one game left to play. So a lot of different dynamics here, but it's always interesting, and it's an extra layer to competition when it is a divisional opponent here in the final weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be critical. Obviously, the Bucs ended last season with two divisional opponents. Actually, the same two divisional opponents, just one was at home and one was on the road. Now you get New Orleans again at home, but the Carolina one was on the road. Now it's at home. So, and that scenario was they had to win one of those two, right, to win the NFC South. And they were able to, unfortunately, come up short against the Saints, but they were able to beat the Panthers. So it could be a very similar situation this year. And you know, like you said, we don't know exactly where the Falcons are going to be, but it could be a scenario where if the Falcons are at a certain spot, maybe the Buccaneers do need to win both these games, and that's pretty critical down the stretch.
This is a tough schedule for the Bucs. I don't think there's really any other way you can put it. You can say it's challenging. You can say there's stretches that are tougher than others, and that's fine. But it is a very tough schedule. Now, I think the NFC South being as weak as it was last year really skews the strength of schedule because when you look at the strength of schedule rankings, the Bucks are like bottom 10. Like they have.
Well, the Falcons have an even easier schedule than the Bucks. Right, the Falcons are one of the easiest ones in the NFL.
They're projected to have a bottom 10, like easiest schedule in the NFL. But I don't agree whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't either.
The reason it looks like that is because of the NFC South being, you know, the trash division last season. But it's going to be tough. And I'll tell you this, without getting too deep into record predictions, I think, honest to God, best case scenario, 8-10 wins. I think with where this team is, I think even if they improve off of where they were last season, at best 11 wins. But I think if everything goes right for the Bucks, they can be a competitive team with a lot of playoff teams in the NFL. But they've got a lot of playoff teams on their schedule in 2024. So best case scenario, I will say realistically, I think somewhere between 8-10 wins for the Bucks. You'll hear my exact record prediction when we do the record prediction show months from now. But what do you boys think about this schedule top to bottom?
Yeah, it's I do agree with you where I disagree with the people saying that's an easier schedule because, yeah, I just you look at Kansas City, you look at San Francisco, you look at Baltimore, all on that four-week stretch there. Atlanta's going to be improved. You're going to the West Coast to play the Chargers. You play the Eagles again. You play the Cowboys. The Saints always play it tough. Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily the easiest schedule in the world, but they have an opportunity, I think, with the second half of that schedule. So if they can just survive in the first half of that schedule, you know, survive and be healthy enough after that bye week, I think they can, you know, make a run down the stretch here. I think there is going to be some folks panicked after the first half of the schedule. I do, just because it's tough. It's a tough stretch there. But I think if they're able to just survive and just not completely sink the ship, right, by the time that bye week comes, I think they could have the potential to go on a run. I mean, you play the Panthers twice, you play the Giants, you got the Chargers, Raiders. So, you know, you got a lot of opportunities to win some football games down the stretch, but it's all about, I think, starting a little bit faster and winning those games, like the Washington one, right, the Denver one, winning those two games where, like, you're better than that team, right? And I think you at least got to win at least one of those three division games that's a pre-bye week because, look, I mean, you wrap up with the Atlanta Falcons after week 8. So after you wrapped up with them, if you're competing with them for the division, it's almost out of your hands by that point, very early on in the season. So, we'll have to wait and see, but, yeah, like you said, the exact, I think you're right. You're in the right ballpark, I would say with that range of wins. Obviously, like you said, the exact, you know, we'll go game by game and it'll be an hour and a half show. We'll predict each game. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be, you know, it probably sometime in August, but yeah, it's definitely, I think, a tougher schedule than people are saying, even though the numbers say that it's not. I do disagree. No comment from Mr. Hill.
No comment. No, I agree. Like it is a tough first half of the schedule. If you are able to come out of that healthy and in a fine position, it is something to where I think you can overall have success. I already made my record predictions because Bleacher Report made me. Those are over on my YouTube channel. So if you guys want to go check that out, you guys
or
can go check
you could out. You could just tell us here.
Yeah, you could spill the beans here. I mean,
I could spill the beans.
But you could give out your record prediction, but me and Evan aren't going to do it till like August.
You two can't. I can, and I did, but it's over on my YouTube channel. You're going to have to go check that out.
Oh,
very sly. Very sly and underhanded.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it I will say, like, it could have been worse, though, right? Yeah. Like, to Evan's point, all the West Coast games being at like 1 p.m. in a lot of scenarios, the bye week being in a good spot, you like four primetime games because that's just fun. There's a obviously a stretch of not fun to this schedule, but there's also a lot of good things to this schedule as well.
I think Jared Cox said it great in the chat. If you can maintain a 500 record by the bye week, I'm fine with that because I do like their chances here from the bye week on to finish with a positive record. I think that's what you're going to have to do to make the postseason. It's what you're going to have to do to win the NFC South. If that's even still in the books, you're going to have a couple of division opponents that it's going to be must wins because if you fall behind that late in the season and Atlanta is the team that's ahead of you, just like Evan said, it's going to be out of your hands. So you're going to be either playing upset or playing for a wild card spot. So I do think a lot's going to be on the line for Tampa Bay in the second half of the season. And last year, when every week was a playoff game, they stepped up and they knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. They subverted my expectations. They subverted Evan's expectations and really anybody else who thought this team wasn't going to do a damn thing when they were staring down the barrel of a 3-6 record, I believe. Just a tough spot to be in, but curious to see how they can, ultimately find themselves after that bye week. Because it's going to be one or two things. It's going to be, smooth sailing, projected to win the division, win a couple of division games, and you should be able to lock it up. Or I think it's going to be a state of panic like it was this time a year ago. But before we go, really quickly, let's just wrap up some news here about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A historic contract. The Bucs and all-pro safety Antoine Winfield Jr. struck a deal, and for the first time in NFL history, the highest-paid defensive back in the league is a safety. Winfield gets a four-year contract with $84.1 million, with $45 million guaranteed. He spoke it into existence last season. Warming up for the season, he filmed a video. He said that he is going to be an all-pro, and he is going to be the highest paid at his position. He just accomplished both of those things, and this is a guy that, quite frankly, Evan, didn't expect him to go anywhere, but I hope he plays the rest of his career here in Tampa Bay. He deserved every dollar of this contract.
If you were expecting, even after the franchise tag, there wasn't going to be any trouble in paradise here. So I know T. Higgins and the Bengals are going through some rough patches, right? It was a sort of similar situation that Antoine Winfield was in, where he was franchise tagged, then maybe a long-term deal, but maybe not. Then they get the deal done. I'm not going to talk too much about the deal. I did do a video we have on the channel. You can check that out on the YouTube channel. But look, he was one of the best safeties in the NFL last year. And he got paid like it. He's the highest paid defensive back in NFL history now. So until obviously the next guy comes along and he'll get slightly above that number.
Evan Walsh.
Well, maybe, you never know. He definitely did deserve the contract extension, and I had full confidence they were going to get it done. And it's nice that they got it done, well before that July 15th deadline.
Absolutely. I think Jason Light can go on vacation with a load off of his mind. All sights are now shifted to left tackle Tristan Wirfs. Maybe we'll hear about an extension between now and the beginning of the season, but I don't know. I guess it just depends. The Bucs did pick up his fifth-year option, so regardless, he will be playing as a member of the Buccaneers next season, but we will just have to wait and see about that long-term extension. But it is coming. It is coming. The Bucs have checked off just about everything that was on their to-do list at the beginning of the offseason, so excited to see the shape that this team is going to be in for years to come. A lot of franchise players on this roster, and it's a very exciting time for this franchise. But ladies and gentlemen, that's just about going to do it for this week's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. First and foremost, thank you to our good friend James Hill, a.k.a. Mr. Bucs Nation, right here on YouTube. James, where can the people find you and your awesome content? I heard you mention something about the Bleacher Report app.
Oh, yeah. So I do stuff on the Bleacher Report app. I do about 4 streams a month for them. Been a lot of fun. I was on there recently, yesterday. Did a reaction live stream to the schedule as well as some record predictions. So that was a lot of fun. Those are both up on the YouTube channel. Everything else is Mr. Bucs Nation on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, everything in between. Posting daily content, man. A lot of fun. Got a lot of stuff planned. A lot of stuff.
So, looking forward to it. You can find our show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneer news as it happens. You can find Bucs news as it happens over on Instagram at Bucs_daily. You can also find Evan on Twitter at EvanNFL and check out his written work at BucsNation.com. Evan, you got anything in the hopper?
I will be doing, now the schedule's out, I'm going to be doing ranking the top 5 most anticipated games for the Buccaneers for this upcoming season. So now the schedule's out, we have the times, we have the primetime games, we'll be doing that. So take a look over at BucsNation.com. And and we're also going to have a few articles on Bucs Nation that are going to be mixed in here with the YouTube channel as well. So be sure to be tuned for that as well.
It should be tons of fun. Last but not least, you can find myself on Instagram and Twitter at Rheticus, R-H-E-T-T-A-K-U-S. If you follow me, I will follow you back. Thank you to to everybody for hanging out with us in the live chat today. Scotty J, Kim Martin, Willie Beeman, Christopher Cole, Jared Cox, anybody else that I may have missed, Al Bundy as well. We appreciate you guys a lot. We will talk to you in the next one. What's up?
What do you have in the hopper, Rhett?
What do I have in the hopper?
Hey, you always ask us, what do you have going on, huh?
Good question. Good question. Well, my day job, I make content for the Bubba the Love Sponge show. You can find us on YouTube at The Bubba Army. We just hit 113,000 subscribers here on YouTube. And today's upload is actually my good friend Lummy. Just made his in-ring debut for CCW, which I believe is Coastal Championship Wrestling, a promotion that goes all around.
So hard in the face.
He did get kicked so hard in the face. So I'm glad that you saw the clip. Go check it out. Lummy was a manager for Danny Briggs, former WWE superstar, taking on TNA Impact wrestler Jai Vidal. It's a good match, a lot of fun. Lummy puts a guy through a table, so definitely make sure you go check it out. But yeah, between there and here is where you can find me. Sometimes I do video game live streams over there as well, so be on the lookout. Maybe we'll have some stuff this weekend. But thanks for asking, James. I appreciate it, pal.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, that's the show. Friends, we will talk to you soon with some more Tampa Bay Buccaneer news. I am your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish, and our special guest, James Hill. We'll talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you for listening, and go Bucks.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.